Again, it's good to see you this morning, and just a wonderful service. So we could go home now, and I would be happy with it, but I kind of would like to share with you what I prepared for this week. Is that okay? Don't raise your hand if it's not. Don't if it's not okay, but hopefully it is. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 7. For the last few weeks, we have been journeying through a series that we've entitled, But God Changes Everything. Because the truth is, there are many moments and situations and challenges we face in our lives in which our very best efforts still come up terribly short. There are many moments we find ourselves in when we would like to think that if we just man up or woman up, or if we just try to have more willpower and just give it a better effort, that we could make it through. But the reality is that there are times in life in which we desperately stand in need of God to step in and change everything. And so we've been talking about that concept these last few weeks, how He can step into the most important moments of our lives and do what we certainly cannot do. We started our series by talking about the fact that there are times when you and I wander away from God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're wandering today away from God, but how God changes everything and He steps into that situation when we've wandered away from Him and He finds us. And we learned that from the story of Hosea the prophet and Gomer the prostitute. And when God pursues us, He doesn't do it to punish us, but when He goes after us and pursues us when we wander away from Him, He does it because He loves us. He does it because He has paid such a great price to find us and to bring us back to Him. Then we talked about how there are times when we may be bound in life, bound by a bad attitude, bound by addictions, bound by many things in life, but God changes everything, and God sets us free. And He does so when we quit hiding our access to sin and the sin in our lives, and when we quit ignoring God's instructions and ask for help, and call out, cry out to God, and believe that He can strengthen us and set us free from what we are experiencing. And we learned that truth from the story of Samson. From there, we talked about last week of how there are moments in all of our lives, there are times and periods in all of our lives in which we may not have enough. You may be there this morning where there are some areas in your life you're just lacking. You don't have enough, but God provides. And from the Old Testament story of Elijah and the widow from Zarephath, we learned that even when we don't have enough, we don't need to give up. We need to focus on what we have. We need to be generous right where we are. We need to be faithful to do what God wants us to do, and then we can see but God provision in our lives. Even when we don't have enough, God can step in and give us more than enough. Amen? Have you ever seen that to be true? I've seen it to be true time and time again in my life. Well, today we're going to talk about the fact that we often see the impossible, but God makes it possible. We often see the impossible, but God makes it possible. Next Sunday, we'll conclude this series on Medical Personnel Day by talking about how when we're hurting, God steps in and does the greatest healing that can take place. But today, again, let's talk about seeing the impossible, but God makes it possible. Now, one thing you figure out about life as you age in life and mature in life is that life is full of seeming impossibilities. Life is full of seeming impossibilities. And I know that's probably a little discouragement. You know, that's a little negative Nelly there trying to tell you that, because, you know, throughout life we're always told about all the possibilities, and those are true. But life is still full of things that seem impossible to you and me. For instance, if you're a mother of young children, a mommy to young kids, it seems like ever actually catching up on laundry is impossible, doesn't it? Right? It does. I've seen it. I've seen it in my own home. The house staying clean for any significant length of time is impossible, right? You know that to be true. And if we focus on all the issues and the challenges and all the mess that's taking place around us in our nation, in our world, and as individuals that we are facing, then maybe it seems like it's impossible for our children or grandchildren to be able to ever experience many of the freedoms that you and I have been so blessed to experience. It may feel impossible to believe that you can raise godly kids in such an ungodly world and raise them to be godly adults. It may seem impossible because of all the terrible influences that we are facing in this life. But certainly the area really where impossibility seems to be most prevalent in my life and perhaps yours is when we find ourselves in some of the most trying and difficult times in life. When we find ourselves battling some of the largest and greatest giants we've ever faced, those are the moments that making it through, even surviving, seems impossible at times. And we've all experienced something like that. Surviving the storms of life can seem impossible. Catching your breath when it seems like you're drowning in an ocean of troubles can seem impossible. Have you ever felt that way? Am I just speaking to myself? If you felt that way, do this, okay? Do this. I know you're discouraged. I know everything yesterday took place. That's okay on Sunday, okay? All right, we separate ourselves. Right? All right, okay? Well, we understand that. If you've experienced some type of impossibility in your life, seeming impossibility, raise your hand. I want you to know this morning that God can step in and change everything. He can step in and change everything. And here's what I found in life. In fact, those are the moments that God does His best work. Those are the times that God does His best work. When we think there is no way, when we think there is no answer, when we think there is no hope and there is no chance, God likes to make the impossible possible. There's a story in Matthew chapter 19 of a rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he asked the question, essentially, you know, what should I do so that I can inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus, of course, shared with him some of the things that he could do as far as following the commandments and keeping the commandments and so forth. And the young man, you know, essentially said to Jesus, well, I've kept all of these things from my youth up. You know, since I was a little kid, I've followed all of these things. What do I lack then? What do I need? What am I missing? And Jesus then shared that he needed just to sell his possessions, to walk away from all of those things, and then to come and follow him. At that point, that passage in Scripture, Matthew chapter 19, tells us that this rich young ruler, he went away full of sorrow because he had many riches. Well, after this, you know, the disciples were taking a lot of this in. And after this, the disciples are there, and you just have to think about their train of thought. So here they are, they see this rich young ruler come up and ask Jesus, you know, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And so they go through the conversation, Jesus and the rich young ruler. And now here are the disciples afterward, they have to be thinking, okay, this guy could have furnished our whole ministry. This guy could have been a huge asset to the work of the kingdom. He could have funded it all. He could have made so many things possible. This was a good moral man. He had kept all of the commandments from his youth up. And now the disciples hear Jesus say, you need to sell everything and come and follow me. And then he turns around and walks away. It's kind of like the disciples had to be thinking, if he can't be saved, then who can? And that's what they say, well, Lord, who can be saved then? If this good moral man, this man who could have added so much to the ministry, if he can't make it, then who's going to be able to make it? And after that, Jesus shares what I believe is one of the phrases that changes everything for all of us when we are facing the seemingly impossible moments in life. In Matthew 19 and 26, Jesus says to them, with men, this is impossible. But what does it say next? With all things are possible. Did you notice the significance of what Jesus said to them and to us? Did you notice that? With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Here's what he is saying. When we choose to be with God, when we choose to go with God, when we choose to walk with God, when we choose to make our decisions with God, when we choose to saturate our hearts with God, when we are with God, when we place our troubles with Him, when we trust our troubles with Him, when we leave those things with Him, whatever it is, the impossible can become possible. That's what Jesus is sharing with us. And in Luke chapter 7, in verses 11 through 17, we see this fleshed out more greatly maybe than anywhere else in the Bible. In Luke chapter 7, we are told the story of a widow who loses her son. And she finds herself at a place in her life that is full of seeming impossibilities. It's impossible that things will ever be good again. Impossible that I will have anyone to provide for my days. Impossible that I will ever maybe experience the kind of love that I had for my husband and my son again. So many impossibilities that she finds herself facing. So look with me in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and with Jesus and many people. And now when Jesus came nigh or near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And many people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier of the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all of them, and they glorified God, saying, there that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. In verse 17, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region round about. When we see the impossible, God can make it possible. I want you to first think about in this story of this widow woman and her lost son, the son that had died. I want you to think just for a moment about the realities that you and I face in life. The realities that we face in life. I read a shirt the other day. There was this little cute little baby, and you may have seen it go viral. It went viral and all kinds of stuff. But this little kid was starting to cry every time the mom would get done reading a book. She would finish reading this book and she would close it, and he would just go berserk. And every time she would open back up and read it. Well, I looked at the kid's shirt and it was awesome, this little phrase ever. But here's what it said: the snuggle is real. The snuggle is real. Now, of course, we know that comes from the phrase the struggle is real. How many of you know the struggle is real? We know it is. There are realities that we all face in life that are seemingly impossible. Realities that are filled with pain and heartache and brokenness. And this woman was facing such a reality. And it wasn't her first time. We were told in verse 12 that she was a widow and that this was her only son. So she had already walked through all of this. She had already made this same walk with the body of her dead husband. And now she's making this walk with the body of her dead son. Death had visited her home not only once but twice, and now the only two sources of provision for this woman, her husband and her son, they were gone. So here's a woman who would be left alone to fend for herself. Days would pass by, and all the comforters that had left the city to join her in mourning, they would go back to their homes and back to their families, and this woman would be left literally with no one. A once improbable situation of losing her son in addition to her husband became an impossible reality for her to walk through. And we all have those kinds of realities. We all face the things we never thought we would go through in life. We all face and have to experience the difficult moments and the things that we never imagined would happen in our lives. And suddenly we are facing some of the most impossible situations in life. The seemingly hopeless moments when our world has been rocked and turned upside down and shattered into pieces. And with man, with you and me, it seems nothing but impossible. And I love that Luke is the one who shares this story. And in fact, this story is only found in the Gospel of Luke. You see, Luke was the doctor of the group. So if anyone knew just how impossible it was for this dead boy to live again, it would have been Dr. Luke, wouldn't it? And so Luke is sharing with us this story, and he is helping us to understand just how impossible with man that this situation seemed to be. The realities we face. I don't know what you're facing today, but you're probably facing some seemingly impossible realities in your life. But here's the second thing. Not only are there the realities we face, there's the Savior that we need when we face those realities. Look at verse 13. And we're told that when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. When Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, "Weep not." Don't miss those few words there in verse 13. Jesus saw her. So here is a woman who was hurting. She was desperate. She was hopeless. She was broken and as low as a person could go. Emotionally, spiritually, physically exhausted because of everything that she had experienced. And we are told that Jesus saw her in her moment of need. Two different crowds met near the gate that day. One was following a coffin, and another was following Jesus Christ. One was following death, and another was following life. And at that moment, at that gate, life and death met, and it didn't happen by coincidence. It didn't happen by coincidence. Jesus knew that there was a need in Nain that only he could meet. He knew that. He knew that there would have been no other reason to go to this small city and this small valley if there wasn't a deep pain within a widow's heart. Jesus knew that. He knew that what man could not do in her situation, he could do. He could do. His presence was the greatest need that she had in the moment of her seeming impossibilities. And the same is true for you and me. The same is true for you and me. Because there are times in life when these seeming impossibilities take place that doctors can only take us so far, and we need Jesus. There are times in life when people can only give us so many answers, and we need Jesus. There are times in life when friends can only do so much, and we need Jesus. We all face those times in our lives. And here in this moment, Jesus knew that he was her greatest need. And the same is true for you and me. So here is Jesus. He comes upon this seemingly impossible situation. She had lost her husband already. She had now lost her son. Hopeless, desperate, really doomed to be left all alone from that point forward to live a destitute life, likely with no one taking care and providing for her needs. And here Jesus steps in to that seemingly impossible situation. And what does he say to her? "Weep not." That means don't cry. Went to the funeral yesterday of a dear friend of ours that grew up. He was in his 40s, and he'd been tragically murdered earlier this week, and went to his funeral yesterday and went up to the casket, and then I shook the wife of his the hand of his former wife and his three beautiful children. And you know, how bad of it would it have been of me if I had went up and said, "Don't cry. Don't cry. Just stop crying." Have you ever done that? Have you ever just went up to someone when they're crying over a loss of a loved one? Have you ever just went up and said, "Quit crying"? That's not what we normally do, is it? No, it's not. But why does Jesus do it? He says, "Don't cry," essentially. "Weep not." Why do you think Jesus would tell her something like that? Do you know why? Can I tell you why? Can I, please? I believe it was because he knew what was about to take place. I believe that in his sovereignty, he knew what he was about to do. And he knew that the reason she needed to hear those words because she was about to see something that would build upon the words he shared. He wasn't making a false promise. He wasn't giving her a false sense of security. I believe this was Jesus' way of saying, "Wait. Wait just a second. And let me show you what I can do. Wait just a moment. Let me show you what I can do. Yes, it was his way of showing compassion, but it was his way of letting compassion meet the amazing power of God. And he was as if he was saying, look, just wait one moment and let me show you what I can do in the most seemingly impossible situation you've ever found yourself in. And now notice what took place in verse 14. Because when we are going and facing those realities, those seemingly impossible moments in life, and when we allow Jesus to step into that situation and give him the access that he wants, notice verse 14. And he came and he touched the bier, and that just means the coffin, the casket, if you will, and what they were carrying the body in. And they that bear him stood still. So Jesus went and he touched the coffin, and the people carrying the coffin started running. So this is a crazy man. We're getting out of here. This woman has already suffered enough. She don't need this crazy man coming up and messing with the body of her dead son. No, they stood still. And Jesus had the access that he wanted to be able to do the impossible. He had the access that he wanted to be able to do the impossible. She didn't run and she didn't come to Jesus and say, stop, what are you going to do with my son? I've already went through this with my husband. Just stop. Don't add any more to my pain. She didn't do that. No, we were told that the carriers, they didn't even stop him, but no, they stopped. And then Jesus went to work on the seemingly impossible. And here's the deal with you and me. When we're facing those impossible moments, here's what we do. Sometimes we keep on walking through those valleys and through the seeming impossibilities in our life, in our own strength. We keep on walking in our own willpower when he's wanting us to stop, when he's wanting us to stand still, when he's wanting us to just give him the opportunity to go to work in your impossible situation. So they stopped. They didn't take off running. They didn't say, no, stay away from the body of this woman's son. No, they didn't. There are times when you and I, we have to stop the funeral procession so that life can speak into death. And that is what took place, giving Jesus the opportunity to do something that only God could do. He spoke two words to the living but lifeless mother, weep not. And after touching the coffin and after the procession stopping, literally stopping, he spoke a few words to her dead, lifeless son. And now we see the but God possibilities in this story. Look at verse 14. And Jesus said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Arise. Now, I don't know how you would feel if you were there witnessing all of this. It you'd probably be thinking, what's he doing? Arise. And now look at verse 15. And he that was dead. You need to highlight that and underline that, because that's true. He that was dead. He wasn't in a coma. He wasn't just resting. Now he was kind of to Jesus in his power, but no, he was dead, lifeless, no breath in his body, nothing left there. He that was dead sat up. He sat up, and we're like, whoa, what's going on? If we were there, we'd probably be, you know, getting a little antsy. Not only did he sit up, he began to speak. I don't know what he said. He might have said, hey, mom, what's up? What's going on? If he was a teenager, he probably said, where's the food? You know. But he began to speak, and Jesus delivered him to his mother. Do you see what happened here? I mean, in the most impossible of situations that this woman could have ever been facing, Jesus comes onto the scene, he receives the access that he needs, and he speaks into the impossible, and he makes it possible. He speaks into death, and life takes place. He gave the son back to his mother. And when he did, I believe he gave her far more than just her son. I believe he gave her hope back. I believe he gave this woman her future back. And probably he gave her her faith back. Because that's what takes place when we're suffering through those seemingly impossible moments. We lose our hope. We lose our faith. We become shattered. We become broken. We become doubtful and fearful, and here Jesus stepped in, took care of the impossible and made it possible, and he restored unto this widow all of the very things that she had lost because of the death of her son. You know why he did it? Because that's what Jesus does. He is a but God Savior. He's a but God Savior. If you think about this spiritually, that's what he did for you and me spiritually. When we were dead in our sins, in the trespasses of our sins, when we were dead in sin, he stepped into that, he spoke into that, and gave us life. He changed us and recreated us and made us into new creatures. And still today, he is in that same kind of business, that business that changes everything, that steps into the seemingly impossible and makes it possible, regardless of what we face in life. There are always but God possibilities that he wants to do in our lives in the midst of those impossible moments. Those realities that aren't pretty, those challenges that are overwhelming, he wants to step into all of those things and change everything according to his will every single time. And there are many things that are impossible with man. And that is the key of this whole message, with man. With man, there are many things that are impossible. And you can keep on trying yourself, and it's not possible. You can keep on working yourself, and it's not possible. With man, these things are not possible. But with God, all things are possible. And I don't know what it is for you today. I can't see into your life. I don't know every situation in this sanctuary today. But I do know this. I do know that whatever your need is, you need a Savior to step in. You need Jesus to step in and to change everything. And you need to stop. You need to stop. Whatever that word may mean to you, where you're at and what you're doing, you need to stop and give him access to the impossibilities in your life. And you need to let him do what only he can do so that you can see what only he can let you see in the most impossible of moments in your life. That is the kind of Savior that we serve. That is the kind of Lord that we know. And that is the God that we've trusted our life to. The God who makes the impossible possible. Can I brag on God just for a moment from my own personal life over this last week? Because some of you may have not been here and you may have been a little spaced out from this situation and what's taking place and what has taken place. But about a week ago, from this past Friday, I was sitting in my office and I was getting ready for the Sunday night message. And I got a phone call from my brother-in-law saying that my mom and my sister had walked into their house and found my stepfather sitting there unconscious and don't know how long he'd been unconscious. Wasn't responding, no response at all. He was just sitting there, just like a zombie, essentially. And of course, they were terrified and called the ambulance, and the ambulance got him up to CRMC as quickly as possible, and they had to find and get him somewhere as soon as possible. And so we made it up there not long after that, and for hours and hours, Friday night, and we, if you're a prayer partner, then you probably started getting text messages somewhere between 3 and 5 if you're one of my enlisted prayer partners, because we started shooting messages to everybody. And so we were up in Coleman for several hours and just nothing. He was laying there on a ventilator, breathing for him. And even when they cleaned it, you know, it was just like his vital signs were dropping, just completely unresponsive. We had no clue what was going on. They couldn't tell us what was going on. They had no clue what was going on. So finally, they were able to transfer him to Huntsville Hospital and the intensive care unit up there. And so about 10 o'clock or so that Friday night, they transferred James, or Poppy as we call him, and you've probably received in your text, they transferred Poppy up there to Huntsville Hospital. And we were there all night long and well into the day Saturday, and we some of us finally came home and got a little rest. And then last Sunday came and nothing had changed. And I don't know if you noticed, and you probably noticed, but last Sunday I was here, but I wasn't here. And I pray that God still spoke through the message last Sunday, but because I was really trying to be here, I just wasn't here. And so, thankfully, Pastor Jonathan filled in for me last Sunday night, and we went up there Sunday afternoon, and we just, Sunday morning, when I came to church last Sunday morning, we thought that we were going to be taking the life support, the ventilator, off of him probably the first of the week, and we would never see my stepfather again, a man who had become just like our father, the only grandfather that our kids had ever known on that side. I mean, we were just terrified. I mean, everything that was seemingly impossible had taken place just like that for my family. We stayed there up until the evening on Sunday, and still really not much had happened and not much had changed. But God. And things started to change on Monday. And he finally started moving a little bit when we hadn't seen anything besides just normal bodily jerks since that point. He'd started moving. Later that day, he had moved a little bit more. Finally, he'd started to open his eyes. And now we're expecting Poppy to get out of the hospital tomorrow. I mean, it's amazing. I'm giving God praise this morning because that's what God can do.
And I don't say that because I know you're saying, well, I had somebody that was hurting and they didn't get healed. You're thinking, well, will God do that in my situation? Here's what I know that He can. I don't know whether or not He will, because He is God and He is sovereign and He is in control. And had my stepfather passed away, He would have still been God and He would have still been good. But I do know that there are the impossible moments in life when He steps in and makes it possible. I do know that to be true, because I've seen it this past week more than I've ever seen it in my life. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning. Whatever your impossibility may be, your seeming impossibility may be, will you just simply trust it with God? He may or may not choose to make the impossible possible in your life. But if you don't trust Him with it, you'll never know whether or not He will. Because He can, and He does, and He longs to do that when it's according to His will for your life.
Who has given